I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
All I did was innocently walk by my wife's phone and an alert came up. She gets news alerts. I turned mine off, FYI, because that's just part of my whole thing, right? Anyway, so I walked by and this message popped up, I'm not kidding, from one of the news companies. China, quote, China is breeding giant pigs as heavy as polar bears. And that's what was newsworthy in that moment. And I kind of appreciated that there was no judgment attached to it. It wasn't like, and that's bad. It was more like, here's a something that could be good for somebody and not good for another person. China's breeding giant pigs as heavy as polar bears. I mean, I don't know if I have a problem with it. I'm like, hey, you know what? World needs more big pigs, right? And I'm not talking about the animal. What? Here I am. Listen, the plant-based world was a flutter. A flutter. You could just hear the broccoli a-shaken with a study that came out that told people, hey, you know what, all that stuff about processed meat being a class one carcinogen and red meat being a causal factor in basically all cancers and diabetes and especially colon cancer. But hey, listen, just keep eating red meat and processed meat. This was a study. Just keep eating red meat and processed meat. And this is the stuff that makes vegans lose their fiber, to speak nicely. They lose their fiber. Here's my take on it. If you guys want to know my take, first of all, I'll give you my scientific take first. My scientific take is whoopty freaking do. That's my scientific take. The reason is because this ain't the first and this ain't the last so-called study that's going to take advantage of us. And I'll get into that in a second, why I think about this. And also, it ties into the larger subject of this podcast episode, which is don't feed the beast, which is about enabling. So I actually read the study. It was, it might as well have been in a foreign language. I mean, there was lots of stuff. It was like, what in the frickin' world? I read some other stuff, read some opinions, heard a podcast on it, just got kind of informed on really what are we talking about here. Of course, I'm skeptical, but also I was like, okay, well, let me see what's happening here. It's nuts. Sorry, but it is. It's, funnily enough, like not really denying the negative effects of meat eating, but it's more, sort of more like, well, I mean, right? I mean, look, just... it's fine. Just keep eating it. That was kind of the gist of the thing. The thing is on both sides of any issue in today's world, we can massage numbers and it's really hard to make claims with research, especially with regard to food things, because there's multivariant factors with regard to health, like how well you digest food and your overall stress levels and all those kinds of things. So even if you fed people the exact same thing, it's really hard to kind of to catch that. But then they do what's called like a meta-analysis, which is they take a bunch of different studies that are using different methods and they sort of get a general idea of like, okay, well, this is kind of a thing. Like this is kind of a thing. And that's what they've done. And it's there, but it sort of doesn't matter. Like the jury's in that meat is not good for you, not even red meat. Just look, I'm fiber. I'm the fiber guy. If your food has fiber in it, it's healthier than if it doesn't. Said that before, I'll say it again, teaching people that. Let's not overthink this thing. If your food has fiber in it, it's healthier than if it doesn't. Because if your food has fiber in it, it's going to have more micronutrients in it, and it's also going to feed the good gut bacteria in your gut. That's why it's called gut bacteria, because it's in your gut. You heard it here first. Probably not. More studies are going to come. I liken it to the coffee, the fun I have with coffee, that every other year there's a study showing that coffee is good for you, then it's bad for you, then it's good for you, then it's bad for you, then it's good for you, then it's bad for you. It's exhausting. So here's my thing. Eat meat. Eat processed meat. Just if that's your thing, you were going to read that study and you were going to go like, I knew it. And thank you for telling me that I'm doing things fine and I'm going to keep doing those things. Do that. The problem is that here's my, just as a practitioner in the field, I have a problem because I don't want people to get sick. That's just the only little hitch. Look, I came to all this because of asthma. You guys probably know that about me, and cured myself of asthma by a slight dietary change. Wasn't even fully plant-based. And by the way, I just want to make this other point. You can eat a little bit of animal foods and be wildly healthy. It's not like there's like everybody who eats a little bit. It's just to say, yeah, don't change that, eat it. It's a junk food. And so if it's a junk food, you want to minimize that much in the same way that I would minimize, oh, I don't know, single malt scotch. So it's sort of like just put it in its place. If you have no concerns over the, you know, other things like the environment or the animals that doesn't bother you, then just eat it, just minimize it because it's not a healthy food like you would minimize any other kind of junk food. Got it? Okay, I'm glad we had this talk. My concern is I don't like it when people wait too long until there's a problem and then they give it up, right? I mean, I did have asthma, and so it was like I was in that kind of, in a way, in that place. It wasn't so serious. It was managed, but it was something that was real and it went away. And I thought, I didn't say, I'm never eating this stuff again. It was more like, well, let me try. What happens if I don't eat this? And it went away. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep not eating this because that's kind of nice. I just wish people wouldn't wait until the heart attack or the colon cancer or whatever, that until something is already wrong. And that, and in a sense, it's what keeps me coming to this microphone is to sort of remind everybody that this, to call into question, I'm about to do a blog post on this, by the way, but to call into question this idea that, well, I don't want to give up all the joy in my life, as if making this decision to eat better is taking the joy out of your life. I really have a problem with that, and sort of like, if you assume that, then you assume, okay, well then if I really get sick and have a heart attack, then the misery of having a heart attack, it outweighs the misery of giving up the food, and therefore I will stop eating the bad food because it's better than having the heart attack. You know what I mean? We're all in that negative dark space of like, what's the worst, the lesser of two evils? Well, giving up the food that makes me whatever is the lesser of two evils, but it's not an evil. I have a problem with that. It's not an evil. And every grill is out there going, evil? What I'm eating is evil? That's weird. So I was not all a flutter. I sort of go, oh, that's funny. Let me find out who's tied to the industry that's putting that out. That's so cute. You guys are adorable. But it's serious shit, and here's why. Because we're turning into a headline culture. This is a headline culture. You can quote me on that. We're a headline culture. Don't quote me because I probably didn't make it up. And so it's like you can really make some headway in the world by just a nice little clickbaity kind of thing. And then people click it or they use the headline and they act on the headline because most people are not going to take the time to go read the entire study, to go do anything. I do because it's part of my job, but most people aren't going to do that. And sort of like they are taking advantage of our busyness. They sort of like, well, these people are like busy. We're like, they're like doing the thing of life. They're not going to read past the thing. Let's just submit it and we'll get published. And if it gets published, it's valid no matter what because it's published, as if no study has ever been debunked in the history of mankind. And so let's just get it out there and then people won't read it. They'll just read eat red meat and processed meat and they're going to be like, freaking told you. Look at that. All this time, the hippies. I'm not even going to... You know what? Hippies eat a lot of meat. I'm just going to go out there and say, is that anecdotal? Yes. But it's a meta-analysis. It's a meta-analysis. Okay? I have checked out different hippie cultures around the world. I've analyzed the studies. They freaking eat a lot of meat. Okay? Don't let the haircuts fool you. Okay? There's frustration in the plant-based world because what this headline is going to... People are going to read, they're going to do it anyway. This headline isn't going to tip the scales. If somebody's already open to the actual science, they probably will have changed, or at least they're open to changing or they're minimizing it. And people who are digging their heels in on eating meat, this is going to just be one more thing that they use, but it wasn't like it was going to change their minds anyway. All I am saying is that what most people do shouldn't stop what some people do. Okay, dig, just because most people are going to read the headline and they're going to continue their habits, and hopefully, I don't wish this upon anybody, but hopefully they'll dodge the bullet. But if they don't, then maybe they'll, you know, have a come to Jesus moment then when they're got colon cancer and say, okay, I'm going to, you know, make this change. I hope that doesn't happen to anybody. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But just because most people are going to sort of take that tack and go, see that we got to just be okay, yes, you go thing, and we just got to keep doing our thing, feeling good, being happy, setting an example of joy, which is what this is about. Feeling really good, treating ourselves well. Kind of a weird subversive way to live, isn't it? To feel good. You know, look, if the inevitable happens from eating red meat and processed meat, you know, erectile dysfunction, then come see your buddy Sid. I'll set you straight. No pun intended. I will set you straight. I'll be like, look, we all know that's not pleasurable. So let's get you on some fiber. Get that good gut bacteria back in check, huh? Let's grow it. Let's grow it and make it strong. Make your body strong at the same time. It'd be ironic if I was drinking scotch. I'm actually drinking water and filtered. So, again, dodge that bullet. Yeah, go to Vimeo and I have a new newsletter coming out. Oh, I keep saying no announcements here, but like literally 5 seconds. I just got asked to speak at the San Francisco Veg Fest, the World Veg Fest in San Francisco on October 26th. That's all I'm saying. It just came up. So I didn't really have time to like put it in an email or anything. And thanks to everybody who came on Patreon and it becomes a Patreoner. I really appreciate that. You know I do. And it's what powers this, my work. Sorry, but it does. The videos and the thing and the equipment and the time and the whole thing is because of you guys. Dig? Okay, good. Feeding the beast. This is related to the study that I just talked about. Study, air quoted. Because this is enabling behavior, and it's such an easy thing to do. Enabling bad behavior is the easiest thing to do. Why? Because it's way easier than taking it on and trying to change it in ourselves and in others. Now, you know how I feel about changing in others. It's really a rough road. I'd rather you shift inward, but let's say you were trying to change somebody else. Can you just admit that it's a lot harder to do that than to enable what that person does, even if it creates bad stuff in your life? This happens a lot. One of the hardest things to do is not enable bad behavior. Again, it's this constant battle that ensues, and it takes up a lot of my work in a way because I do talk about enabling and sometimes, you know, it's family dynamics or wherever the stress occurs can affect food choices. So I can't not at least cursorily go, listen, where's the major source of your stress coming from? You know, I've worked with lots of people and talked to even more who are trying to feed themselves better, to feel better in their lives, which I argue till the cows come home is going to make their family lives better, but get resistance from the family or say, well, now I'm making like two separate meals. I'm like, why are you making two separate? Well, could I do the cooking? I go, well, then why are you doing the cooking? I mean, is this 1950? Because if it is, I don't even know what. And secondly, number one, I don't know what. Don't cook two meals. I mean, at some point, it's sort of like, well, what are you really talking about here? Are you talking about that you're like enslaved and you have to make two meals because you're the one that cooks? Or can you get off your ass? Sorry, tough love here, but good Lord. Can you be like, look, guys, I'm trying to feed myself better. And so because of that, I'll make food that I want to eat and we'll all eat it and it'll taste great. Or if you're really insistent on eating stuff that I don't eat, then I'm gonna need your help because I can't do it all. It's too much. But I think you want me to feel better, don't you? I think it's a pretty easy thing to do, right? Instead, it's not easy because it's confrontational and there's disagreement and there's potential mutiny. And it's just in the moment, much easier to go, I'll make two meals. But the problem with that stuff is it bites you in the ass. You know it does not go away. It's always the trade-off. And this is why I harp so much on quick fixes, because this is kind of definitely that in that same wheelhouse, which is we trade long-term peace and success in our lives, joy in our lives. We trade that in a way for the short-term relief. It's not happiness, it's relief. It's like in the moment, it's like keeping the peace. It's like we feel tension about losing weight or we're not taking care of ourselves, and there's a tension around that, there's a conflict around that. And in the moment, it keeps the peace. It sort of kicks the can down the road if we say, well, I'll just go on a diet. That'll just sort of delay my unhappiness by 21 days at least. Well, that's something, and I get a bunch of accolades, and that's something else, and eventually it goes away. It's often way easier to enable bad behavior than to take it on in ourselves even. It's like to say, well, I'm just going to, you know, kind of, this is like, I'm already stressed, and so I don't need this on top of that. And I get it. totally get it. And actually, as an aside, I often advise people, like, don't strike when the iron's hot. Like, don't talk to your family about this at dinner or while you're eating. Like, do something at a time where there's no food around and it's not about food and there's no meal and no, just sit down and have a conversation human to human. I find that to be better than in the heat of the moment in any way, but it is feeding the beast. I mean, if there's a beast in your life, which is the junk food, the relationships that aren't about mutual respect and consideration, you know, the beast is this, you know, kind of capital B beast, the thing that is creating conflict in your life, don't feed it. I mean, you have to figure out a way to feed the other parts of you that are going to move you forward and therefore move everybody else in your life forward. And this is the frustration of living in the modern world. I mean, the enabling, I'm so sensitive. I hate enabling. Like, when somebody has bad behavior, I don't want to, it goes for my kids. Like, I don't want to enable behavior. I think that's kind of a new agey parenting. Like, it's just, they are, that's what they, yeah, that's enabling. You're enabling. There are ways to behave in with ourselves and in the world that are based on mutual consideration, not based on, this is just how I feel in the moment and I'm valid and everybody has to bow to what I'm going through right now, because that's, you have to enable me because this is it. I think putting our foot down is not only okay, I think it's appropriate. It's appropriate to say, no, this is actually, that behavior is actually not okay in society. And I think it's actually okay for us to say it to ourselves, not in a hateful self-judgment in a bad way, but just to say, you know what, this is actually not acceptable behavior for me. This is not, I frame it like, it ain't you. Like, you're going, you know, this isn't, I'm actually not okay with the way that I behaved in this thing. I'm not a bad person. Everybody has struggles, but I'm actually not okay with this. And I don't want to enable that behavior. I don't want to do things that lead me to behave that way. So let me look at the other options and other aspects of my life and see how those all relate to what I did that day, and figure out if I cannot feed the beast, figure out if I can move away from that thing. And with regard to people in our lives, the same thing. Can I strengthen myself, make myself happier and healthier so that I do not, and no, so I no longer enable the bad behavior potentially of the people in my life, that includes our kids and spouses and everything else. Is it going to be appropriate sometimes? Yeah, because it's freaking exhausting. And sometimes you're going to be like, look, I got to get through the day. So I'm going to do the thing and say the thing that gets you to shut the fuck up. And then I'm just going to get through it. But eventually, like I said, it's going to bite you in the ass. It is, feeding the beast is this. It is the common battle that is so prevalent and so just part of the work I do of short-term peace in exchange for long-term damage. It is us saying, I'm going to trade and get short-term peace right now because I'm tired, and I'm okay with the fact that long-term, I'm actually going to cause damage. I don't know if we say that consciously, but that is the trade. That's the battle. That is the battle. And which one wins determines exactly what kind of life you'll live. Don't know why I come back to you. But I do. But I do. Heaven knows why I cling. Memories, with so many soft and mean. There I go. Winter stays.
less the games that we play to distract us from our days. Felt we sat and then we sat till the no noise became a nail across a fingerless flat, across a fingerless flat. There till the end of time, the light's just to be seen. And wallows in its purposelessness under a full belief, under a full. There I go, there I go. With some I stayed, some I stayed. The dicing narrative was laid, thrown to the back of the parade. Underneath a common thread, cut the seam, cut the seam. Alive with all that has been said.